we know that the wild salmon population has been declining, in part because of habitat loss and overfishing. Scientists have been trying to protect the population by breeding wild salmon, collecting the eggs, then raising the fish in captivity, releasing the adults into the wild. But there's a problem with this method that researchers are trying to solve. Molly Siegel from WHYY's The Pulse explains.
Two young coho salmon swim upstream in a river. One fish was born in captivity, in a hatchery, before being released into the river. The other fish was born out in the wild. These salmon are smolts, small fish that are ready to swim from freshwater to the saltwater of the Pacific Ocean for the first time. The fish born wild is more likely to survive the trip, and scientists wonder why. Louis Bernache is one of those scientists.
I'm a biologist in the sense that I do so many things, but let's say basically what I am primarily is an evolutionary biologist.
Bernache works at Laval University in Quebec. And while some scientists have looked at differences in DNA between hatchery fish and wild-born fish, he thinks the captive hatchery environment may cause some genes to turn on or off. To test the idea, Bernache and his team sampled both kinds of salmon from two rivers in British Columbia. They found that, yes, some genes were muted or turned down in hatchery fish. Bernache discovered this was happening to specific genes, ones that help salmon change how their bodies deal with salt in the water.
The fish can't adapt properly to move into salt water. Of course, that can be a potential important source of mortality when you release those fish.
And these epigenetic changes occurred in hatchery-born salmon in two parts of British Columbia.
That's a very strong case to conclude that the hatchery environment caused these epigenetic changes.
And that means fewer salmon to fish and consume. But what is it about those hatcheries that is actually causing some genes of captive salmon to be muted and for those fish to struggle in the wild? Biologist Jesse Boakvist hopes to find out.
So I think that being in an environment in a hatchery where it's so dissimilar from actually living in the wild is causing domestication of these fish, which is causing this lower survival.
Boakvist is a grad student at the University of Calgary, but her fieldwork is out in a remote part of British Columbia's Pacific coast, a couple of hours' drive down a logging road. She and her team have set up a test with hatchery fish. Here, they hatch salmon eggs in captivity and raise the fish in large outdoor tanks before releasing them into the wild. Usually, hatchery fish are pretty crowded in these tanks. They just swim around in circles, and workers feed them pellets sprinkled at the surface of the water. So Boakvist uses this setup as a control in her experiment. Then there is another tank, the enriched tank. There are fewer fish in this one, and
they're getting live prey sometimes, and as opposed to just pellet food. They're also having, I like to call them toys, and these are really just PVC pipes, and we attach black netting to the outside parts of the triangle. So the fish will swim in and out of the netting. So they're changing their social dynamics by doing this because they can actually hide or be territorial or anything like that.
Boakvist and her team sometimes shake things up for these enriched test fish. They open up the lid of the tank.
And then have natural predators, like birds might come in and, you know, check out what's going on because there's a bunch of small coho salmon swimming there.
Once these adolescent salmon are marked and released, Boakvist will try to figure out which ones survive better, the traditional hatchery fish or the enriched test salmon. She'll compare their DNA to see if there are differences in which genes are turned on or turned off. And that could mean the test environment with toys and predators makes hatchery fish more successful in the wild.
Even though I'm working with coho salmon, there's implications for other species, implications for using this in freshwater hatcheries and aquaculture.
If Boakvist's theory is correct, that could lead to more fish in rivers, oceans, and perhaps even more fish on your plate. For Here and Now, I'm Molly Siegel.